Amen.
Please be seated now.
Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your love, and we thank you that you're our teacher. And that, Lord, we pray you just teach us this morning. And we thank you just for your love for us. And I just pray you really speak to us in a special way this morning. And so we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Romans, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. We're going to start off this verse. Half of a verse here. Romans 1:16. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now we have, as most of you well know, we've been looking at just the unfolding revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the Old Testament and how that's unfolded, proclaiming Jesus. We looked particularly at the Gospel of John and the presence of Jesus Christ and who he is and paying the penalty for our sins and then leaving and establishing his church, the purpose of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of his church. So he's at the right hand of God, and he left his people here. He empowered them with the Holy Spirit, and they're moving out into all the known world. So that's where we are. They're moving out into all the known world. And so what we have here is an account in the book of Acts of how that happened. And then after that, you have the letters that were written to those different churches to really help them out in the situations that they were dealing with. So here we have in the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul is writing to the city of Rome. So he's telling these believers, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I mean, that's almost how he starts off. Okay, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, too, it's important to know what the gospel means. Gospel means good news. Good news. So I think that's, you know, a good thing to keep in our mind when we share and talk about the gospel. It should be good news. You know, when you walk up and talk to somebody and you go, I don't think it's good news. You know, that, you know, so it is good news. That's what it means. And so Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, fundamentally, and we'll just, you know, there's so much you can talk about, but just want to lock in on some specifics here. The gospel and good news is fundamentally that Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, and we are forgiven. Is that good news? Oh my gosh. I mean, somebody that just doesn't believe a thing about what you are, they're into whatever, and say, what is all this Christian junk, you know, waiting for some sort of condemnation. Say, no, I believe that God loves me, God loves you, he died on the cross for you, he paid the penalty for your sins, nothing's held against you, you have a home in heaven. He may say, I don't believe that. Okay, he may not believe it, but it's still good news. Okay, it's good news he didn't believe, all right? So it is still good news. Nobody's going, that's bad news, I don't believe it. No, it is good news. And so, but basically, when it talks about the gospel, that's what it's saying. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, died on the cross. We are forgiven. Good news, amen? Gospel, good news. Now, also, I want to interject in here, and we see this, we've seen it in the book of Acts, and we're seeing it manifest in Romans, is that once these messages and letters written, there's an assumption. When Paul writes the letter to Rome, there is an assumption. It's given in the whole gospel. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, we are forgiven. But here's the assumption. Okay? It's just the fact. Just the fact, what? That we have the Holy Spirit and the power of God in us. I mean, that he writes from that point of view. He's not going, well, I'll write this letter and explain to you that you have the Holy Spirit in you. No, he's writing to believers that knew they had the Holy Spirit in them. That's the assumption with the letter. And when you start reading that letter based on the assumption, then the book of Romans has a little different twist to it. Because he's assuming that. He's assuming some information already. The Holy Spirit was not an unknown to the New Testament church. It wasn't an unknown. Unfortunately, in the church today, sometimes it's an unknown, but not in the beginning. In fact, the church spread because of the Holy Spirit, because of the power of God. See, it was a known. So if we look here, and I'll just, so when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and we have a slide here, you look at John 3:16. He had this in his mind, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's it. That's the gospel. And these people, okay, you know. And so they're understanding. And then the next thing, they know that the required element in that message for the church is the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's a great verse. Paul wrote this too when he was writing to another church in Corinth. But look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:20. He says this, for the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but of power. So I believe God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And not just talk, but there's power. Those people believe that, and they are forgiven. But Israel's not talking about it. There's a presence of power in those people. It's the church. Amen? Y'all with me? Amen? You can't separate those two. You cannot separate Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection and the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. They are one in the same in the presentation. Amen? So it's like, and again, I want to write the point, when you read the book of Romans, that's what they had in their mind. No, the Holy Spirit is present. Now, we're going to get some information and figure out how everything works, but we know the Holy Spirit is present. We know that, but we're going to get some more information about stuff we don't know. Amen? That's big. That's a big thing to help you understand the book of Romans. Now, but here where we want to come, here's the church. It's moving out. It's powerfully moving out. But here's one of the lessons we want to learn that Paul is telling us right here. And he says this, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now that's interesting. Why would he say that? Because it's an issue. It is an issue. Because he's coming in and there's all sorts of belief in people. I don't know. That's crazy. You're crazy. I don't want to be called crazy. So maybe we'll just let that go. My faith is a personal thing. And I'll just keep it to myself. And I won't push it on anybody, you know. Paul goes, no, I am not ashamed. This is who I am. You get me, you get this. This is what I believe. This is who I am. You can't separate the two of them. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. Now, here's the point if you see the title of the message. And I really believe that Satan's tool to defeat the church is silence. Silence. Satan has no power over a believer. He has no power over the influence of a believer. He has no power. He has been defeated. The Bible clearly says that. He has been defeated. Now, he can attack us and all sorts of things, but he can't harm us, okay? And so we realize that. And so he knows when we speak forth, there is power in what we say. When we talk about Christ, there is power there. And so he's just, hush. I can't do anything to you. So maybe I'll have your boss tell you, I don't want you to talk about it. Maybe I'll have a government official say, I don't want you to talk about it. See, he has no power over us, but he'll try to do that. He wants us to be quiet because once we speak, there's power coming forth. There's power coming forth. And so Satan's tool is silence. Is silence. And listen to this. This is so convicting, but when we are silent, we cooperate with evil. When we are silent, we cooperate with, well, I didn't say anything, it's just my person. Then you're cooperating with evil. How did God choose to spread his word? Who did he choose to spread his word? I mean, we can't hardly think about it. It's nuts. Who did he choose to spread his word? Us and you. That's the way. So Satan said, I got to stop this. Hush. Do you see the demonic impact? Hush. I got to hush the church up. Because they're the avenues. So when we hush, we're cooperating with evil. And so as we cooperate with evil, then God doesn't have an avenue to share his word. How many politicians you hear, well, you know, well, it's just a personal thing. I hold it to myself. That's demonic. That is flat demonic. You see what I'm saying? And Satan's going, good, just keep it you and Jesus. Because we don't want anybody else here. And if nobody else hears about it, Satan says, I got room to work. Room to work. Why is there such an attack on the church? I mean, we're just coming here Sunday, enjoying ourselves, whatever, and everybody, and you watch it, there's an attack on the church. Why? Because God works through the church. That's why there's an attack. And it's like, we don't want y'all to say anything. And by the way, if anybody goes to your church, you know, you have some beliefs, so you're a bigoted, racist, and whatever, whatever. Why? Because we want you to shut up. Silence is the tool of Satan. Silence is the tool. So we need to realize that. But the thing of it is, it was from the very beginning. We think, oh, this is new. This is terrible. You know? No, it was from the very beginning. From like day one, within the first month. You know, I mean, it was the day one. We have John and Peter. They did a great miracle. And this lame guy just jumps up and walks. And they're telling people about the gospel. And so they bring John and Peter in here. And they said, what are you doing? And he says, well, we just healed this guy. And they said, sure did, didn't you? And it's like they couldn't do it. They didn't know what to do because this guy's walking around and healed. And so they look at them and they're puzzled. What are we going to do with this? This is what they did. This is what they did. Look at Acts 4:18. Chapter 4. I mean, this is like within the first month at least, maybe the first week. Acts 4:18. So they, the religious leaders, called them, this is Peter and John, and charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. It's a personal thing. Keep it. You want to love Jesus? All right. But just keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Right from the beginning of all the things, they charge him not to speak in the name of Jesus. Well, you can talk about God, generic. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about Muhammad. You can talk, but don't talk about Jesus. Because Jesus is coming upfront to everything else and its power. And God works through his people. I mean, things start making sense. Things start making sense. You understand what's happening in the world, in the spiritual world, and God moving. So, now, we learn that that's what they're saying. That's what's said to the apostles at the beginning. It's being said all the way through today. Through today, no different. Don't speak in that name. Don't talk about that name. You know? Then here's the answer that Peter and John give. And this is the answer. This is the thing for every believer when they're told to be silent. When you are told to be silent, every believer has a clear responsibility. You have a clear responsibility. And here it is. It's to do just what John and Peter did. It's the next verse. Be quiet. Verse 4:18. Now we'll look at Acts 4:19. And here's what they said. Acts 4:19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. No, we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. We cannot. This is what we've seen and this is what we've heard. This is us. This is us. So that's the point. What have you seen and have watched? What have you heard? Then you have to speak of what you've seen and what you've heard. That's just what they said. Amen? And God says, that's your job. That's your job. Now, even in the Old Testament, I love this Old Testament verse, you know, but believers should never be ashamed. I mean, you have salvation for the whole world. Sins are forgiven. The power of the Holy Spirit given. Oh, my goodness. Don't say nothing. Oh, my gosh. Don't tell anybody. See, and that's what Satan is saying, because he doesn't want you to tell anybody because there's power. But even in the Old Testament, I love this. We never should be ashamed. And I just love the way this Old Testament verse puts it. Look at Amos 3:8. And so, but we cannot but speak except what we've seen and heard. Okay? Now look what Amos says. And I just love this. Amos 3:8. Amos says, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The lion roaring. I'm scared. That's a lion there. The natural movement is to be afraid because there's a lion there. Because he roared. The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? The Lord has spoken. I can't help but say what he told me. I can't help. The Lord spoke. You know. And that's what we're doing. Well, you can't speak to Jesus. No, I am speaking to Jesus. Well, they'll fire me. Maybe you ought to be fired. Maybe you ought to have a position where you can spread the word of God. They think, why did you fire? Because I mentioned Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I mentioned Jesus. You mind talking about anything in the world except Jesus? No, I'm going to talk about Jesus. That's just who I am. You get me, you get Jesus. That's what they said in the beginning, and that's the reason the church spread like wildfire. You've heard me say this before. Polycarp. Love Polycarp. You know, I just think, here's when he was born, he came in. What do you want to name him? Polycarp. You know, but Polycarp, he's coming in. He's about 150, 200 years later. And they come up here, and he's an old man. They said, you've got to worship Caesar. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. This is recorded. You can look at Google that. Okay. But he said, I'm not going to worship. So he said, oh, come on, just worship Caesar and you can worship God like that. And they know, he take him to the governor. The governor says, I'm going to worship Caesar. No, if you don't worship Caesar, we're going to burn you at the stake. And Polycarp cried. And he says, why are you crying? You don't. He said, no, I'm crying for you, for the judgment that you're going to face for rejecting Christ. I'm crying for you. And they burned him at the stake. But he cried for the guy that burned him at the stake. He said, oh, because it was. So I can't help but speak what I heard. I can't help it. See, that's the way it happens. Satan has not changed his tactics at all. Oh, this is a surprise what the world is doing. This is not a surprise. It was worse then. It was worse then than it is now. It really is. Okay? So, the message that we hear should not be ashamed. We can say, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? I can't help it because he's spoken. Now, when we look at this, we need to process. Now, we'll go back in the book of Romans. Paul's talking to the folks. This is a family letter, you know. Paul didn't write this letter to a bunch of people who didn't believe in Jesus. Now, you can read it and learn about Jesus, but that's not who he wrote it to. He wrote it to the people who believe the letter. Okay? It's like, if I write a letter to my wife, and she reads it, it's a letter to her. Now, you can read that letter and get some information about what I'm saying to her, but you probably won't get the depth of what I'm saying to her unless you were her. Because she's going to know all the little, you know, way I speak and what I mean, right? So you're reading my mail, and you're not going to be able to understand it. That's like these letters are to the church. It's your mail. So people that don't know Jesus are going to read your mail, and they don't understand it because it's your mail. It's not their mail. Does that see what I'm saying? So you're saying, oh, my God, this is a letter to me because it's to our family, and you are the family. You are the family. And so he is saying this, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So as he speaks to the family, and we know, and just look at Romans 10:9. He's still speaking to the family, okay? Romans 10:9. Since the goal of evil is silence, therefore the Bible says, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth What does that mean? Say something. You know, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, you have to, you know, I have to say something or I won't be saved. No, what he's saying, if you are saved, you will say something. That's what he's saying. If you are saved, you will say something. I can't help it. I can't help but say. You know, some of the most vocal people in Christianity are new believers, because they can't help but say what's happened. You have to get older in the Lord, you know, to not try to offend anybody and want to feel bad. And I don't know, I don't want to look stupid. Because when you first come to know the Lord, you're telling everybody. Holy. See? You have to learn not to. See? You see what I'm saying? And so Paul is just saying that. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And think about this. Don't say anything about Jesus. Just keep it to yourself. But it says here, if you confess with your mouth, what you going to do? What you going to do? You go back up to what it says in Acts 4:19. Well, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. I can't help it. What I've seen, what I've heard. What each of you individually has seen and heard. You know, you can't get too excited about confessing what I saw and heard. You know, anything. And under pressure, he said, I don't know if I believe Wallace anyway. You know, let's just, no, I ain't going there. You know, but when it's you personally, all of a sudden it's like, no, that I saw that. I heard that. It's personal. It's personal. So the point here, it's the mouth confesses what's in the heart. Well, I just keep it to myself. Then you have to wonder, is it even in the heart? You know? I mean, that's what you got to wonder. Is it even in the heart if you don't confess it? And so we have to look at what Paul is saying and not being fooled and indoctrinated by the world around us. Now look at Romans 10:10. I mean, he doesn't let up. I mean, Paul doesn't let up on this. In fact, I just kind of cherry-picked some verses out of here. I mean, we don't have enough time to go over everything he said. All right? But look at Romans 10:10. Again, if the goal of evil is silence, a believer must speak. He must speak. Look here, Romans 10:10. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. Hallelujah. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Well, I have to confess or I'm not saved. No, what it's saying there, if you believe and are saved, you will confess. You can't help it. No, Jesus died for me. I got a home in heaven. I can't help it. I can't help but speak. I can't help but speak about what God did for me. I can't help it. See, it's a love relationship. And it's a belief from the heart. It's a one-on-one with God. One-on-one with God. Really, it's powerful. And so, what we have here, our behavior is important. All right? You hate people that talk and don't live up to it at all, are they? But our belief is really also evidence by what we say. It really is evidence what we say. Because our tongue is connected to our heart. It is. It just really is. And so what's in your heart you're going to say is going to come out. It's going to come out. And so we want to keep that in mind. And look at Romans 10:14. Love this. 10:14. It says this. How then, this is Paul going, okay, let's just talk about this. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. But he goes on to say in Romans 10:14, he says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on him if they haven't believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they never heard? They never heard. And then it says this, And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? See, I love that. See, me and Jesus are doing good right now. All right? But it's deeper. It's more preaching. It's more of a proclamation, proclaiming. And it's to everybody. But it's not to preachers. This is not to preachers. This is to everybody. He goes, how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear? See, your boss that's front, you can't talk about Jesus. You know? Well, how are they going to hear if I don't talk about it? Okay. You know, why did you do that? Because in this case, am I to obey God or man? You know? And it's like, this is who you got. You got to have something. Now, again, there's discernment and there's diplomacy and there's understanding and there's a way to present anything, all right? But the point of it is a heart about one, how one proceeds in life, all right? When you go to your job to work, you're to work. You're not to preach Jesus. You are to work because God says you go to work, work. If you don't work, you don't eat, all right? That's what you do. So he means for you to be productive. But is your person in who you are as you live it out? You proclaim Christ. But you should be the most productive one in your place of work. The most, you know, it really is about, and he's saying something, and you're lazy and spouting Jesus. All right? And this doesn't work. Okay? It's like, because there's no consistencies there. But the point of it here is that, yes, we're moved to do the thing. But he says, you got to say it. And the things here, if they don't hear, how can they believe? If they don't hear, if someone is not there to preach to them. It's important, the preaching of the word. And look here. It goes on to say, says in Romans 10:17. I mean, we're still in Romans. It just doesn't quit. It just doesn't quit. Romans 10:17. For faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. Got to hear it. Got to say it. Somebody's got to say. And by the way, the Bible is the word of Christ that he's given to his people, and his people speak. His people speak. All right? So it's the same thing. You have faith, but it comes from hearing. Therefore, there's a substance. There's substance in what we say in sharing the gospel of God. Again, we're not ashamed of Jesus. That's the key. We're not ashamed of Jesus, and third, we freely speak of it. And again, you have to put it relationally. You know, I'm at work or something. I says, you know, I have my great wife. You know, I just love her to death. He's listening. Oh, gee, mentioning your wife and talk about it. Okay, we got big issues here right now. You know, because if I agree with you, she's going to know before I get home. And she is kind of like Jesus. She would know that I agreed with him. I don't know how she knows, but she would know. I would walk in the door and say, I'm sorry I said that. I couldn't, because I know she would know. But the point of it is, you can't talk about really who I am. You can't say I don't have a wife when I have a wife. You can't say that. You can't tell me not to be excited about having a wife. You cannot say, now if you're saying I'm not working and spending too much time talking, that's legitimate. That's legit, because I'm supposed to work. That's why I'm at work, is to work. Okay, not talk about my wife. But you can't tell me I don't have one. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's the same. It's a relational thing. And so God is just explaining this to us, and he's just showing us about, this is who you are. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Don't you be ashamed of the gospel. Or if we personify it, says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Don't you be ashamed of Jesus. Say his name. You know, you look at the world. You can kind of go God, generic God. You can get away with that. People don't rub up. Jesus is the one that's like, ooh, there's something that's too identifying of what you believe. But God said, no, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Now, say again. If we are silent, we're cooperating with evil. Well, I didn't do anything bad. I just didn't say anything. You enabled and you cooperated with evil, and it's just like you did it yourself. It says, by our silence, we deny Jesus. Once we open our mouth and speak, we release the work of God. Just the way it works. That is just the way it works. And so we have to be aware of it. Now, when I'm talking about this, we're talking about Jesus, not, you know, you ought to do, and we have some Christian principle. This is how you raise your kids because God says so. You know, be like that. Or this is how you do your money, because God says, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. We're talking only about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus being the answer. That's what we're talking about. That is the focus. We're not talking about anything political. Nothing. We're not even talking about anything social. We're not. What he's talking about right here, not saying that those things aren't impacted, but we're talking about Jesus. And that Jesus changes things. We're talking about Jesus. And that's one thing Christians get in the jam. They get the thing, they think their manner of living is just what Jesus would do. Maybe, maybe not. All right? Because there's enough Christians who disagree with you, then maybe, maybe not. But you can't even be a Christian unless you rejoice in Jesus. See, we all come because we like Jesus. And we proclaim it. It's all about Jesus. I don't know who this guy is. I have no idea. His name's anything about him. His name's Benjamin Watson. And he plays football for the Ravens, you know. And it's like, I don't like the Ravens. Sorry, Michael, Andrew. I'm just not a Ravens fan. It's just not. But listen to this guy talk. I could be a Ravens fan. I really could be. I'm watching Fox News. Okay, I'm just watching Fox News, you know, the anointed channel. It was nice. I can laugh at that. So I'm watching Fox News. And so he's on this show. And they ask him, they ask this kid. I don't know why they ask him. I have no clue why he's on there. But he struck me because he's in his uniform. All right, so that struck me. And so he's talking. Nice kid. And they're asking all sorts, because of things going, social and racial questions. They were asking him. And this is his answer. This is his answer. I almost stood up and shouted hallelujah. I thought, I was so shocked. I mean, just stunned, because he was speaking in front of millions. I mean, he's a football player. That's what he does. But who he is a Christian. That's who he just plays for. Who he is, and for some reason, they ask him these racial and social questions, and he said this: Obama can't save us, Mrs. Clinton can't save us, Mr. Trump can't save us. The only one who can change a heart of man is the Lord. And all God's people said, "I mean, let's say hallelujah for Benjamin Watson." Oh my goodness! And I'm thinking, the boy's not ashamed. The boy is not ashamed. And they said, what about this? What about this? What about this? What do we talk about? They ask you all this stuff. Don't go there. You go to Jesus. That's what he did. And he never heard me say nothing. Somebody else talked to the boy. Or he just knew it was so. He goes, that's irrelevant. It doesn't make any difference. There's only one who can change the heart of man. This is the Lord. National television, that kid. Like I said, he'll make me a Ravens fan. I mean, and like I said, I don't know him. I have no idea anything about him. But see, that's the purpose. But the thing of it is, that's your purpose. Well, what about, we're in the political, what about Mr. Obama, Mrs. Clinton, Mr. Trump? What about that? He's there. I don't know. They can't save us. Only one change of heart, Lord Jesus Christ. That will end the political discussion. Right? Hey, we're going. We're going for the juggler on this thing. We're going right here. We're not going to float around. We're going right here. See? You see what I'm saying? Anyway, this is my new hero, Benjamin Watson. Benjamin Watson. Now, here's something, too. But this is where it comes to us in Northern Virginia. Here we are. We're in Northern Virginia. I have something to share with you, too, about Northern Virginia. It's not an accident that you're here. It is not an accident. Some of you think it is. It's not an accident that you're in Northern Virginia. How do I know that? Because you're here. Because you're here. And God doesn't make accidents. You are here. And it's like, and so God is speaking to us in Northern Virginia. And he wants to speak through us in Northern Virginia. You know? It's like Benjamin Watson. He is at the Ravens to play football. No, I don't think so. God just uses the Ravens so he could proclaim to the entire nation the Lord Jesus. Just use the Ravens. See, why am I in Northern Virginia? He's just using Northern Virginia. He's just using it. You're here. Okay? Why? To proclaim the Lord Jesus. That's why you're here. That boss, I can't stand my boss. You're there to proclaim the Lord Jesus. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Yes. Now look, and there's even verses for that. I had trouble finding Northern Virginia in the Bible, but there is certain applications you can make to Northern Virginia. And look at this. Here you are. Let's just put Northern Virginia in here. And so Paul is in jail, okay? So if you were in jail, okay, so this wasn't a good spot for Paul. I think he was in prison at this time, and for a short time, or he was just there anyway. Acts 18:9-10. There's a vision. Jesus talks to Paul. How many times? If Jesus was just talking to me, that's what happened. Paul said, Jesus talked to me, and Jesus appeared. You know, Jesus is the right hand of the throne. He said, got to go talk to Paul. He's sitting a little shaky. Let's go talk to Paul. So Jesus is talking to Paul, and he says this, Paul, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you or harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. Now, he's not talking about believers. Paul was an evangelist. Okay, he's talking about the unbelievers. I have many people in this city, Paul. Don't stop talking. What is everybody telling us to do? Hush. Satan goes, hush. Satan's going to be quiet because God's got many people in this city. He's got many people in to say, be quiet. I can't do anything to you. If I can get you to be quiet, I'll say so-and-so that they'll come up and you really like them and they'll say, oh, you're stupid. Don't say that. Oh, I can use them to embarrass you. So maybe you won't say anything because I don't want you to speak because God has many people in this city. Oh, and if you say something, they're going to start coming to Christ. All you got to do is say something because I've already primed the pump and I just need you to speak. And they can't come to Christ unless you speak. Because that's the way I've chosen. I've called my church to speak. And that's the reason the people against the church say, it's your own belief. Just keep it to yourself. Be quiet. Don't speak in that name anymore. There it is. And I think Jesus, these people in Corinth, they're not listening to the thing I say. This everything's falling apart. Jesus said, no. Go on speaking. Do not be silent. I have many in this city who are my people. I've already touched them. I just need you to speak. We're in Northern Virginia for a reason. And let's keep it simple. Just like Benjamin Watson, all right? I think there's the apostles and Benjamin Watson. I am just so excited about Benjamin Watson here. Okay, but the goal of evil is silent, so we speak out. Now, what do we speak? What do we speak? We speak about Jesus. That's the focus. Focus on Jesus. That's what Benjamin did. Benjamin, what about this situation? What about this situation? What about this situation? What about Obama? What about Hillary? What about Trump? And Benjamin goes, they can't save us. Only Jesus can save us. The interview really ended real quick. It's a boom, okay, next speaker. And it's, oh man. No conversation, because that's what Benjamin said. Now, on John 3:16, so what do we say when we end the discussion? God loves you. I don't know where you are and what's your background and what's your beliefs and what you go. God loves you. And what we got to do, we got to get them in the wagon. And for you new people, someone explain to you what we mean by it. But we got to get them in the wagon, okay? And what's that? It's John 3:16. Don't make this hard. Don't, just because they don't understand, don't think you're not saying it right. Don't make it hard. John 3:16 is the most well-known scripture there is in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the good news. But also, we're not going to leave something out here. And this is a mistake. In much of the church, they leave this out. Because we have the words, but we have power. we're not intellectually going to get, you know, trying to outdo someone. We're not intellectual, because we know when we spoke it, there is power, because we know the good news is wrapped up in the power of the Holy Spirit. We know our wagon has wheels on it. We get them in the wagon, but we know our wagon has wheels on it. And so when we speak it out loud, notice it said speak it out loud. It's amazing how many times it even tells you to pray out loud. You know? I don't know. It's like God's not deaf, but I think he wants Satan and all the principalities and everything in heaven to hear you. He says, pray out loud. And so we know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to pray out loud because our wagon has wheels. And here we get 1 Corinthians 4:20. And Paul, this is the same Paul. He wrote the Romans, and he's going to write the Corinth. And again, what did he say? For the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but of power. We speak words, there is power. The earth shakes. Paul, don't shut up. Keep on speaking. I have many people in this city. You speak, the earth shakes. Amen? God shakes, but we got to speak. See, why in the earth shaking? Because we're not speaking. We're not speaking. And that's what he says. That's what he says. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to say, I'll say it, but I want you to say it with me. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not. Say it with me. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No. That's what God says. That's how Paul starts. No. I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed. Why don't we stand? We'll have our praise team come up. And just think about it. Just this morning. And, you know, if you've never have, you know, just I'd like you to just pray that to place your trust in Jesus. Or maybe you've placed your, you know, you've done that, placed your trust in Jesus. But just from the heart, you're timid about mentioning the name. Just mentioning the name. You're timid about mentioning the name of Jesus. Well, just put your trust in him and say, no, I can mention his name. I can mention his glorious name if there's power. And so just pray with me. Just pray with me. Jesus, everyone, this is the church. This is church, not just few in it. This is the whole church. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins in my place. Jesus, I believe I am forgiven. Jesus, I believe I have a home in heaven. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says, if you prayed that prayer and believed in your heart, you pass from death to life. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. You're in his kingdom. And you read the Bible, it's his mail to you. It's his letter to you. And it's personal. It's personal. Amen.